Good evening and welcome to the Temple, the official Mind Factor podcast. I am Brian the Mind and I'm going to be your host this evening. Tonight we've got a very special guest. We have Maria Elena, longtime fan of the Mind Factor, huge supporter of the band, close friends with all of us. She was always a constant. She was the silent voice that was always there. She helped support all of us. She gave Ray a place to stay for a lot of years. Was a good friend. Brought other people to see us. She was just a kind soul. She's the quiet constant that was always there. We appreciate her. We love her. Everybody, please this evening welcome Maria Elena to the Temple. Yeah, I can hear you. I'm still getting some level,
okay, cool.
Some level set. Let me try one more thing. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, that's good. This thing was stupid.
That's okay.
Seriously, I was pretty angry. I got this. Mm-hmm. I was having jam sessions here at the house, and I could only like record two channels at once. So,
okay.
You know, it's like putting two mics up and then having to record. Ten things, and you know, it was
right simultaneously.
Yeah. So I got this new thing that's supposed to record all this stuff, do all this badassness, and I plug it in. I'm like, nothing is working. And
wow.
I guarantee you, it's user error. It's I'm the idiot.
Right. Because you're in a hurry.
I have a confession to make, Maria.
Hmm.
You've been supporting the band for as long as I can remember, and before I do the shows, I usually jot down some notes and. You know, some things to talk about. And it occurs to me, beyond the fact that you've always been supportive, you really took care of Ray a lot. He probably wouldn't, you know, without you, there's a lot of things that wouldn't have happened. You know, I know you worked for the post office for a lot of years,
right.
And I don't think that
right.
you do anymore. But beyond that, I don't know that I know very much about Maria.
I know.
Like, and you're, kind of quiet, you know, and...
Yeah, I am quiet.
You know, you're always there and always supportive. You know, it seems like you're a pretty private person. And I was going, damn, I'm embarrassingly unprepared. But it's just because, I don't know how to... You know, so why don't you just tell... Can you tell me a little bit about Maria?
I don't know what to tell you about me other than, yes, I worked for the post office for many years. I have two children... I'm a widow. I have a small group of friends and my family. And I love music and I love a lot of other things in life. I love all kinds of music. There's not one specific period, genre, type, whatever you want to say. Other than that, I like to laugh and just be myself, I guess. Is that what you were looking for? I don't know.
No, I... That's good. That tells me that's what I sort of know about Maria. I'm glad I wasn't too far off base. How did you... Like, it seems for as far back as I can remember, Maria has always been there. Like, how did you
right.
even get in... Like, where...
Oh,
did,
yeah.
Like, how did you find... Like, where did you come into the picture?
I think after you guys did your first CD release...
Mm-hmm.
A guy I worked with, Frank Peeker, who was a bassist for Jim Rowland's band, Newcastle.
Yeah.
So he, I always wanted to see him play, and he invited me out to EA Pose. And he said, he always liked me to come out. And so I'd go out and support him, and you guys played after Newcastle. I was blown away. And I think I tried to get a CD that night at Kevin, at the time I didn't know Kevin, but he was the one who had them. He had them outside, but the next day at work, I was pleasantly surprised on my mail case that Frank had left me a CD he bought for me. Well, that CD went in that morning, my CD Discman, which dates how old that was. So we still had a Discman, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I put it in my CD player, and I put it in my pocket. And I think I listened to that CD from 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night delivering mail. And it just kept repeating and repeating. I couldn't get enough of it. And after that, I think I was pretty much hooked. I'd go to the Royal. I'd go by myself at first, and I went down to Dewey Beach to see you guys that summer. And after that, I started meeting people. Do you remember the message boards we had, or you guys had?
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I met Brian, and I met, yeah. So that brought me to open mic nights on Monday, which Tuesday is when my day is off. So I could hang, you know. I just had to make it home. And there were some pretty wild nights, but I wondered, how did I make it home? Or I'd sit outside the Mojo and chill so I could, you know, try.
I'll be honest, I wish I had off Tuesdays, because it was... Monday, that was the night that everybody partied. I mean, it was just,
yeah.
You know, you didn't get
it was rough. It was fun for drinking and everything. That's how I met Ray. He was staying at Ian's house. So Ian is not far from where I live. So I'd taken him home.
Now, Ian, he lived in Baltimore. He actually owned and ran EA Pose. I'm not sure if he had
exactly.
I guess he had it at the time, but he and Ray were pretty tight.
Yeah. But Ray lived with him at the time. And Ian, he's been here when we went to a couple of shows. He'd come over and meet us, and we'd all go together. But Ian... I haven't seen him. Last time I saw him, I was delivering mail, and he was doing electrical work at Condo. I was delivering that. So that's the last time I saw Ian.
I miss that guy. I liked Ian a lot.
Yeah, I know. He was very quiet, too, and very, you know, just a really nice all-around guy.
He was the kind of guy that didn't really, he didn't talk a lot, but when he did, it was, you paid attention, and generally when he hits you with some humor, it was gut-busting.
Yeah, exactly.
His brutal wit that was unbelievable.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was Ian.
Now, I know you and Ray had gotten pretty tight for a while, and he stayed with you. Like, how was that?
Yep.
Like, I know he'd stay with a lot of us.
Oh, yeah, he stayed with a lot of us. He stayed a couple months with us, and, the kids loved him. Of course, he was his inner child. He was an old soul, but he had that inner child quality. So, packed his lunch for work every day, and that's when he was working, one of the times he was working. So, and Krista, I think, stayed here for a while with us, too, and then he moved on. But, Ray drew from a lot of different people, different places, things. You know, he took in a lot for songs and stuff, so, you know, while he was here, he took in a lot of different things and, I've seen them, some of the phrases or just the words or the things that I collected in some of the songs or, the title of one song threw me back, but it was something we discussed and it was like, I just don't believe you did that, but he did. And the song's great. And, he just drew from different things in his life, like Self-Storage. He and I were in New York for a show and he needed the name of that song. And we looked out this window where we were at, and he was grasping at straws at that point for Self-Storage, the name, and he had to have it. And we're looking out over the cityscape, and there was a Self-Storage unit advertising a big red gold neon, and that's what he named it, and it was perfect for that song. So, I mean, having him here was, as you know, having Ray at your house is like a whirlwind.
No, it's trying to control bottled lightning. It's...
Yes, exactly. But in the same respect, it was the best and the worst of times, I guess you could say. Like you said, it was like I had four more kids in the house, but yet at the same time, I just, it was great to have one-on-one, even though we had one-on-ones a lot, because we did spend a lot of time together, but it was different seeing him in a different light. Just not the Ray at the show or the Ray hanging out, So, he, like I said, I saw where he picked up on things and got names and got words and lyrics from it. So that was cool.
It was great when he was staying with I guess staying at our house. It was great because we could just sit and write music and work out songs.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, my liver was so angry at me. Like it was, you know, it's getting home from work and then sitting down and drinking a 30 pack and then having to go to work the next day after sleeping for 2 hours and going, I hope I'm sober enough to go. And that was, you know, that was Ray. And you had been at work all day. He hadn't slept at all. You get back and he's been drinking. He's like, let's do this, man. I'm working on this thing. It's like, Jesus, man. Like the fucking Energizer Bunny. Like, what the hell?
I know. I know when I was at work, there were times he would call me, oh my gosh, just to find out meanings of words or how to spell wordness. And I finally broke down, and this was before we could actually get on our phones and get the internet, you know, like Google or something. And I think I've got him one of those Webster dictionary things and thesaurus that's like a little phone type apparatus. You know what I mean? You can look him up. So I got him that so that the calls would stop of him calling me all the time. But he'd still call me, so it didn't matter. But, you know, in the middle of the night, hey, babe, what's this? What's this mean? How do you spell this word? So I got him this thing, and he loved it. But he probably lost it after a while. So
it
didn't last long.
He took a lot of care in the songs that he wrote, because
he did.
I don't know, we talked about it before. It's sort of like that's all that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were trying to get, there's a song that was some interest to get on the radio, and they were talking about, you know, we could get this song on the radio if you just edit it.
If you shorten it.
Yeah, if we just change it. And Ray was like, absolutely, fuck
nope.
You. Absolutely not. You are,
it was
you know.
True to yourself.
And he was so, like, he was protecting it, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. He's like some feral mother wolf or something.
Right.
Protecting his children. Right. He's like, absolutely not. Like, so personal, like, you know, I could understand.
He wouldn't.
You know, and we didn't understand, I think, at the time, and we're a little, you know, I think I understand now, because it's all he had, and he worked so hard
right.
on it.
He crafted it, right. I remember that, and he, you know, he lost sleep over it. He was torn about it, but in the long run, he did what he felt it meant to him, and he couldn't shorten it, he couldn't edit it, he couldn't change it, and he said, without this, it wouldn't mean this, and, you know, I mean, he tried it. But it just, to him, it wasn't, you know, effort more or less.
Well, it was really personal.
Didn't make it the way it was.
It was really personal. I'm probably gonna butcher the quote, and I can't remember where it came from, but he said something one time about every time I write a new song, it's like I'm committing suicide.
Exactly.
You know, because he's just putting everything out there, and I can understand why it was so personal.
Yeah, I mean, a lot, and probably every song, we just don't know. But I know for a fact that a lot of songs had to do with people, places, and things that he encountered or dealt with, or, you know, he fed off of everything. Being, child, object, he fed off of that, and that's where he drew from. I mean, you know, just a simple reading of an article of a murder or something, you know, would bring him to how does that family feel? What are they feeling? You know, how was that person, their demise, you know? He just, I mean, that was one thing I loved talking to him. I mean, I miss that. I miss my friend. Using them now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that miss him.
Oh, I know. Jim misses him. We all miss him. You miss him. I mean, everybody. Chuck, everybody. Kevin, how about you guys?
He
had a way with him.
It was tricky because it was lightning in a bottle. You know,
you're dead.
Yeah, you wanted to have it, but it was, you know, it's going to hurt.
Right.
You know, it's going to hurt you. It's going to get you sometime. So it was always that conflict, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, you know.
Yeah.
I sometimes wish I could get burned again just so he was here.
Right. Oh, I know. And, you know, I will say that I know the burns. I myself probably only had one burn from him, which I took and I thought, you know, it could be worse. But, you know, he and I had like a different friendship. I guess
you guys are really
respect.
Close.
Like, yeah, there was a mutual respect. And he didn't pull some shit on me that I've seen and know that he's done to other people. And I don't, you know, I didn't see, like, people say, oh, you didn't see this side of him. It's true. I didn't see that side of him. I had a way to calm him down. And, you know, I don't know. It's just I never saw that ugly side that sometimes, I guess, the liquor, alcohol, whatever would bring out. So, I didn't. Even though I've been with him, with me, it's pretty messed up where I more or less had to carry his ass. And that was, like, crazy trying to get him out of the car and stuff, you know. But, yeah, when he'd get trashed, he was trashed.
I wish he was still here. It's funny. It's, you know, I think I can't remember who said it first, but somebody one time said to me, you know, life has a funny way of happening. And, you know, even though that was a pretty bad time, and, you know, when Ray had passed away, at that point I was already done with him. I was like, dude, I can't even take you. You know, it had been like a year or so since I had seen him, and
right.
Then I'd get the news. You know, it was awful, you know. But it's, life's got a funny way of happening. You know, if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be, at least all of us in the band and friends, wouldn't be doing what we're doing now.
Like, true.
Like, it seems like there's this new opportunity. There's, you know, we've got Lenny that's come on board. You know, we're revisiting these songs. We're revisiting writing.
It's a powerful way to powerful way to bring back his songs. And Lenny's doing great. You guys are all, you know, bringing it back together again.
How was that? Like, I know you came, like seriously, like, I know you came to, you, I think it was the first time you'd seen us all together. You came up to New
York. Staten Island.
Yeah, Staten Island. We were just practicing the songs and working out new stuff. How was that? Was that?
Brian, that, I've been in a dark place for the last year. And I started talking, Lenny had reached out to me. I'd never met him in my life, but he reached out to me back, well, before that show or before that practice, and somewhere, somehow he started bringing me out of that dark place just by talking to me. And then, when I got up there, that music just brought me back to where I needed to be. It was, I had chills on quite, I mean, you just don't know. I wasn't even drinking because I had to drive back home. I followed, you know, the other guys up. So I could have stayed the night, but I chose not to. But so I wasn't drunk
That's a huge leap of faith. Like, I'm going to drive to Staten Island to see these guys with somebody new singing, and I don't even know if it's... It was good to see you, you know?
Yeah. And I was... the music, like I said, there were so many times during the course of the night that I just, like, the feeling was just rushed over me. Like, it came back, like, all over again. It was like, just close your eyes and take it in. Because at that point, I'm thinking, am I going to get this back? I think I'm getting this feeling back. I'm getting this, you know, the vibe. You guys did it. And then, you know, in this last show we went to, that was awesome. That was way beyond awesome. And, yeah, I mean,
that set in Asbury felt really good. Like, that was where
it did.
That was where it needed to be.
Right. I mean, everybody was together on the same page.
And Lenny's it's big shoes to fill, you know. And it's not even that he's trying to fill those shoes. He's
and that's what I tried telling him. Yeah. He's just making it work and doing his thing with Ray's songs, and he's doing great. And
now,
new stuff.
You got to, when you were in Staten Island with us, you got to hear us working out some new material, some new songs.
Right.
Now we've been in Frank's studio recording some new stuff. Have you heard the new material? Like, the final mix isn't finished, but we got some rough mixes. Has anybody played that stuff for you at all?
No.
Holy crap, wait till you hear it.
Yeah. It's probably trippy beautiful, as I had to tell Lenny.
I'm really excited to hear people's responses to it. I'm super proud of it, and I think Lenny knocked it out of the park.
Right. I can't wait. Now, he sent me the other month the rough, just the music itself. Mm-hmm. And that's when I told him it was trippy beautiful, and I couldn't wait for the vocals.
Holy
to
shit.
To down on it.
Like the
yeah. So when he tried to send it to me. I just couldn't get it, the second one.
Yeah. When after Lenny and Chuck finished their mm-hmm. parts, it's a whole new song. Like really, it's a whole new. It's like, you know, it's almost what, 8 minutes long, and it doesn't even feel that long.
Right, that's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that long, and there's like, you know, the whole thing is hooks and earworms. I was just like, holy right. shit! I've been walking around all week, you know, with the stuff stuck in my head.
It's, yeah, I can't wait.
No, yeah, I'll send it to you. It's official. Okay. You know, it's official. We can write together. So I'm pretty right. happy about that.
Right.
You know.
Well, I knew you could after talking to Lenny, like back in August and September. I knew that. There was potential there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, talking to him is a lot like talking to Ray. He had same ideas, same thought process at a point. Money has more of a life probably than Ray did. You know, he has more
going
on.
You know what it is?
What?
You know, I've heard people compare it to Ray, and... I don't think that's a fair comparison. I think there's a similarity. No. I think there's a similarity right. in both of them that there's a fire. Mm-hmm. There's a fire that burns in them.
Right.
That
right.
they're able to communicate mm-hmm. through the way music. They play and through mm-hmm. music, and people feel it. Like when he's playing, he's singing. There's an energy. He connects to you.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and you know when we're all playing together, we vibe on that.
Right.
You know? And he has that. There's, you know. Not a lot of people have have that spark, you know. And I think that if we had gotten together originally and none of us, you know, we didn't feel it, it could have been the same Lenny singing and playing the same way. And if he didn't have that thing, it wouldn't have worked. He's got
right.
that spark, and mm-hmm. I think that's why it works.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's something there, and like I said, there's things I've heard, you know, just from talking to him and hearing his voice and. The passion and just everything, you know, just a lot of different qualities. But he's not, he'll never be Ray. But then again, Ray would never be Lenny. So
that's true.
There you
and
have
it's
it.
You know, I think it's unfair to try to, I hate to trying to compare one to the other.
But
because,
you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. I just look at it as Lenny doing a tribute to Ray and, you know, bringing back the memories for us that lost Ray. And letting us hear the music once again, and then to bring you guys together and have you write new things. So that's a plus right there. You think about it, right? If I look at a lot of my friends just on Facebook alone or on my phone, you know, the numbers, and if the numbers are still good, even it's like a lot of people I made friends and that's through Ray, you know. And I could call a lot of those people now and, you know, just talk to them or hang out with them, and we'd still have that common denominator, which is Ray.
Thanks for doing the podcast.
Good. I'm glad I did it. Took me a while. I'm sorry. I know you asked me back in July, or somebody did. I just wasn't in the right frame of mind or right place, and a lot's happened since then, so I'm in a better frame of mind. And
That's good. I don't know if anybody's ever vocalized it, but we really appreciate the support that you've given us for as long as you've been there. Sharing the music, bringing people, and especially now, just you're driving out to see us again. You've taken that leap of faith, and I appreciate it. And I think I speak for all the rest of the guys that, you know, we're really honored and flattered that you believe in us.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it. I mean, all you guys, you're like family. I mean, I know I could call any one of you up, and I needed someone sure to help me or figure something out. And you're always there when I walk in. If I don't know anybody, I know you guys will be there, and I can talk to you.
It's good to see you at the shows too. I don't know. It's like familiar comfort, if that makes sense.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Hey. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Bye.